Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Good evening, everyone. This is Duchess, and I'm happy to be here. This is a beautiful fall-like day, and it's Sunday, the 2nd of November. And I hope everyone turned their clocks back. You hear me? Turn their clocks back, and everyone is listening at the right time. Once again, this is Duchess, and I want to thank my creator for blessing me to spend this time with you this afternoon, evening. We've got a lot to talk about. First, I'd like to wish my youngest son a happy birthday. Happy birthday out there. Glad to have known you for the last past, how many years has it been? A lot. Wow. And I want to remind everyone that Tuesday is midterm election time. And get out the vote. It doesn't matter who you're going to vote for. Just go out there and exercise your right. Lyndon B. Johnson once said that the vote is the most powerful instrument ever devised by man for breaking down injustices. And we have so many of us screaming and hollering and complaining about the injustices going on around the world and in the United States. But not once have they ever exercised that powerful instrument to vote. So with that one finger, you can change the world, because there will be a whole lot of other fingers pulling that lever at the same time you are, and everybody's vote counts. Well, this evening we're going to try to make some sense out of no sense, because what's going on the face of this earth makes no sense to a lot of us. But we're going to see if we can make some sense out of it, and it's going to be a long evening, a lot to say. Don't want to confuse anyone, because sometimes I'll be speaking from Duchess, and then sometimes I'll be conveying some words of Tom Kenyon, who channels the Hathors, and at other times, I'll be conveying words that the Hathors spoke as they channeled through Tom Kenyon. So I just hope I don't confuse anyone with the going the back ends and the forth ends and the explainings. So with that said, let me start by talking about Friday. Because in order for me to get on with what's going on with the Hathors, I need to give some background as to how I came to listen to Tom Kenyon and respect the words that come through him from the Hathors. As some of you may remember, I also shared some things from Lee Carroll, who channels Kryon, and then there's some people who follow Abraham and Hicks, and some who follow Jeffrey Hoppe, who channels Adonis St. Germain. Well, today we're going to talk about the Hathors and who they are and a little bit about who Tom Kenyon is, but how I became involved with listening to them has its own background story. Let's start with, let's say, Friday. Okay, straddling the line between fall and winter, life and death, Halloween is a time to celebrate superstition. It's a time of celebration and superstition. It is thought to have originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off roaming ghosts. In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor all saints and martyrs. The holiday All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain. The evening before was known as All Hallows Eve and later Halloween. Over time, Halloween evolved into the secular, community-based event characterized by child-friendly activities such as trick-or-treating in a number of countries around the world. As the days grow shorter and the nights get colder, people continue to usher in the winter season with gatherings, costumes, and sweet treats. Now, the Celtics who lived 2,000 years ago in the area that is now Ireland, the United Kingdom, and northern France celebrated their New Year on November 1st. Now, yesterday was November 1st, and this day marked the end of summer and the harvest for them and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of year that was often associated with human death. The Celtics believed that on the night before the New Year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became blurred. On that night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, and it's pronounced S-O-W-I-N, but the proper spelling of the word is capital S-A-M-H-A-I-N, pronounced Samhain. When it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to the earth. Now, this was their first of November. Believe it or not, right now, between the 1st of November and the 3rd, we have the Day of the Dead. These are Day of the Dead celebrations. More than 500 years ago, when the Spanish conquistadors landed in what is now central Mexico, they encountered natives practicing a ritual that seemed to mock the dead. It was a ritual the indigenous people had been practicing at least 3,000 years, a ritual the Spaniards would try unsuccessfully to eradicate, a ritual known today as Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. Dia de los Muertos is celebrated in Mexico and certain parts of the United States, including Metro Phoenix. Although the ritual has since been merged with Catholic theology, it still maintains the basic principles of the Aztec ritual. So has the use of skulls. Today, people don wooden skull masks called calacas and dance in honor of their deceased relatives. The wooden skulls also are placed on altars that are decorated and dedicated to the dead. Today, these celebrations differ depending on where you are. In rural Mexico, people visit the cemetery where their loved ones are buried. They decorate grave sites with marigold flowers and candles, toys for dead children, and bottles of tequila for adults. They sit on picnic blankets next to grave sites and eat the favorite food of their loved ones. In Guadalupe, the ritual is celebrated much like it is in rural Mexico. People spend the day in the cemetery decorating graves. And in the United States and in Mexico's largest cities, families build altars in their homes, decorating them to the dead. They dedicate these altars. They surround these altars with flowers, food, and pictures of the deceased. They light candles and place them next to the altar. Now, I'm sharing all of this with you because I want you to know that there are many cultures that celebrate their ancestors. And some people think this is a bookie thing, this is, you know, a weird thing, this is a creepy thing. But come on, you celebrate on Veterans Day and you have a day off when you honor those who have gone to war and gave their lives in combat. When stars and famous people have passed away on the anniversary of their death, you may hear them playing songs that were written by Michael Jackson over and over and over again. So we celebrate ancestors or those who have gone before us over and over and over again. It's just that when you have a whole culture of people doing it by actually going to the cemetery and having picnics there, you think it's weird. All right? And the reason why I'm sharing all of this with you before we get to the Hathor is because this is my introduction on how I came about and was introduced to the Hathors. Now, the Yoruba tradition, that's the African traditions, amongst the Yoruba, the annual ceremonies in honor of the dead serve as a means of assuring their ancestors a place among the living. They believe the ancestors have the responsibility to compel the living to uphold the ethical standards of the past generations of their clan, their town, or their families. The Egungun is celebrated in festivals known as Odun Egungun. Now, here's my story. About 16 years ago, I went to an Egungun festival, and I had the opportunity to be given what's called a roots reading. It's an ancestral line reading. And at this particular ancestral reading that was given to me, it was determined that my energy came forth through my father's lineage, which is Yoruba. Now, my mother's lineage is Dahomey. But my father's line is Yoruba. And I don't talk about this stuff very much, and a lot of people in my family don't even know this about me. But that's where I got my understanding of the traditions that I am blessed with and bound by, the Yoruba traditions through my father's line. Now, once that was determined, it was also determined that I needed to be initiated by the Yoruba traditions and become a Yoruba priestess. I thought about that long and hard. And in order for me to become initiated, a lot of you have seen persons of African descent or who have been initiated through the African traditions. They have the scars and the markings on them. Well, I wasn't about to have any scars and marking on me, and I didn't want anybody to cut me, put herbs and all kinds of things in me, so I decided, well, I guess I won't be initiated under the African tradition. Maybe I'll look at my Native American side of the family. That sounds like a little bit more peaceful, a little bit less, hurtful. So I looked at the Native American side. The Native American traditions of my family. Now, if I'm going to be initiated, then why don't I try doing the vision quest? Okay. Just fast forward 7 years ago. Okay. The initiation by Yoruba was brought to my attention 16 years ago. So 7 years ago, I found a shaman. I found some shamans, and I was going to practice. I was going to do the vision quest and... But you know what? Now they want me to sit out in the elements for days. I mean, this is serious business. I went to the sweat lodge. I read up on it. And I had a place where I could go. But in my mind, was I prepared to sit out in the elements so that I could be initiated into traditions of Native American culture, of my background? And it's like, I don't really think so. Day and night, depending upon how many days my ancestors wanted me to sit out there in the elements, I would have had someone to come and check on me and maybe bring me water and bring me food. But basically, I was going to be on my own out there in the woods. I didn't find that to be very, very practical either, especially in this day and time when all kinds of things can happen to you in the woods. So, let's go. 3 years ago, I had a spiritual group, a wonderful spiritual group, and I met a gentleman who was a sound master, and he was the one to introduce me to the Hathors. Make a long story short, I decided to sit at my altar and ask my ancient ancestors if I had their permission for me to be initiated by the Hathors. And that's where I am. And that's how I met the Hathors. And that's how I come to love the Hathors and the things that they have to say. Now, the sound master, he developed and designed my whole initiation ritual. I had one guest there. This guest was clairaudient and clairvoyant, so she was able to see certain things that were going on in the energy around my initiation. At the same time, she was able to do that mental, clairaudient discussion type thing where she was spoken to. Me, on the other hand, I am an empath, and I am clairsentient and claircognizant. So I felt the vibrations and the comings and the goings and the full, how do you say, pleasure and joy of the initiation. And that's how I came to know about the Hathors and to respect what they have to say. Now, let me introduce you to who are the Hathors. But first, let's talk about Tom Kenyon, who channels them and writes about what they have to say. Tom writes, the Hathors say that they are a group of interdimensional, intergalactic beings who were connected to ancient Egypt through the temples of the goddess Hathor, as well as several other prehistory cultures. Tom continues by writing, in the late 1980s, I was contacted by them during meditation, and they began to instruct me in the vibratory nature of the cosmos, the use of sacred geometry as a means to stimulate brain performance, and in the use of sound to activate psycho-spiritual experiences. Tom continues by saying, while I was intrigued with the information, I was at the time uncomfortable with their self-described origin. I was, after all, a practicing psychotherapist and involved in brain research at the time. In short, I was a rationalist. And these beings, whoever they were and wherever they came from, did not fit into my views of reality at the time. Tom continues, that in the nearly 20 years since first contact, I have tried and tested their inner technologies many times, always found both their methods and their perspectives illuminating. While the Hathors do offer information in the form of language, their primary mode of communication is through catalytic sound patterns. These sounds are channeled through Tom's voice during sound meditation. Tom often offers these during workshops and retreats. Tom says, quote, I personally find it interesting that my vocal range has expanded along with my mind, I might add, in the years that I have been working with them. When I started, I had a range of nearly 3 octaves. Now it is just shy of 4. This extended vocal range only occurs when I'm actually channeling sound from their dimension. Now, this is me talking. I might add that these intergalactic beings are said to be anywhere from 10 to 16 feet tall, That's like, wow, okay? And when I walk into a place like my job, when this factory, huge facility, it's almost as though when I want to feel the vibration of the Hathors, it's like I am so overwhelmed and surrounded by them that I can look all the way up to the warehouse ceiling and say, yes, the Hathors are in the house. What Tom has to say through his light, through his vibration, we're going to talk about the message that the Hathors brought through to him, and then I'm going to play a sound vibration for those of you to hear some of Tom's vocalizing, the melodic vocalizing he does when you do a sound meditation. So let's talk about what the Hathors had to say. This is the Hathors planetary message through Tom. Here you go. Due to time acceleration and cosmic forces far beyond your control, you are in the midst of a crescendo of interlocking chaotic nodes. In past messages, we have referred to the interaction of chaotic events as a chaotic node, singular. But in this instance, we are referring to a more complex phenomenon, what we are calling chaotic nodes, plural. Okay, in quotes, the description of a chaotic nodes are driven by interaction of many energetic domains simultaneously, and there are a large number of possible catalysts, including but not certainly limited to increased solar flare activity, bacterial and viral mutations, ecosystem distress, severe fluctuations in weather patterns affecting the availability of food and water, earth changes, including volcanic and earthquake activities, financial instability, and political ineptitude in managing world events. Now, is there anyone out there that can say we have not been affected by many of these things already and they still continue to escalate? Well, I think not. When a chaotic node arrives on our timeline, it is likely that several of these factors will escalate and interact with each other in ways that cannot be anticipated. Excuse me. Okay, back to what the Hathors have to say. Depending upon your vibratory resonance, you will be affected in unique ways by the escalation of chaotic events. Those of you sensitive to the ecosystem of this planet may be experiencing extreme duress as you witness the degradation of and the loss of many species of life. Another chaotic node, in addition to the chaotic node of your ecosystem, is the stress of interpersonal communication. This is a very complex situation, and it is partly due to the shifts in magnetic fields upon your planet, making short-term memory and cognitive sequencing difficult during energetic shifts. And these energetic shifts are accelerating. Irrational behavior, desperation, and feelings of utter hopelessness are on the rise. As the deterioration of both the ecosystem and interpersonal communications increase, we anticipate even more cultural and social instability. There is a growing sense among many that something is terribly wrong, and along with this is the feeling that there is no solution we agree with something Albert Einstein once said, which is that the solution to a problem cannot be solved at the level of the problem. From our perspective, the escalation of chaotic nodes is creating tidal waves of intense, chaotic energies that many of you are finding difficult to contend with. Furthermore, your automatic reflexive ways of dealing with change are increasingly ineffective. There is a fork in the road, so to speak, that you have entered both individually and collectively. One path from this fork will lead you into a type of madness and an inability to function in practical ways. For those who take this fork, escapism will be on the rise. Self-destruction, both individually and collectively, will also increase in this period. Many of you who have an opportunity to transition out of third-dimensional reality, other dimensions will take it. Without mincing words, to use one of your phrases, we would say you are entering one of the most difficult passages of planetary transformation. At this fork in the road, one path leads to self-destruction, madness, despair, and hopelessness, while the other fork leads to a deeper connection with your interdimensional or spiritual nature. It is this fork in the road we wish to explore. It is not an either-or proposition. Many of you who possess a transcendent and interdimensional or spiritual sense of self may find yourselves from time to time on the path to madness and self-destruction in spite of your self-knowledge. This is because your 3D reality is oscillating. You know those fans, they just oscillate back and forth, back and forth. And the rapid changes in your third dimensional existence accelerating at a faster rate than your biological organism might be capable of handling. The extreme stresses upon your biological nature must be dealt with if you wish to avoid the path to madness and self-destruction. In its simplest terms, the requirement to successfully make this passage through the escalation of chaotic nodes is deep, authentic contact with your interdimensional or spiritual nature and the self-renewal that arises from such contact. We are therefore sharing a sound meditation for this purpose. There are no complex geometries involved. There is nothing that needs to be done when engaging this sound meditation other than placing your awareness in your entire physical body. The sound patterns are a direct transmission from the light realms into the language of your biology. It is a counterforce to the chaos and the confusion that is creating stress within your biological nature. It is short in length because many of you are time-stressed. You have too much to do in too little time because you are trying to hold the whole world together as time accelerates. All we can say to you from our perspective is that holding the whole world together is mission impossible. Letting go of the old world and your attachment to how you think you need to be is part of what is required to take the higher path. Our suggestion is that you listen to this sound meditation as often as you wish. And when you listen to the sound patterns, focus your awareness in the physical reality of your being, your physical body. All that is required is successfully engaged in this sound meditation. All one must do is listen to it with awareness in their physical body, and the cellular structure of your body will unwind and release stress and delusional states of perception, giving you a greater possibility to enter a higher path. We are calling this sound meditation the Elevatron because the root of the word means to elevate, and it also refers to the electronic nature of your biological reality. This sound meditation is a direct transmission of energy from the light realms into the bioelectric, biochemical, and quantum realities of your body for the purpose of elevating your vibratory rate in consciousness. In the final analysis, your personal experience of the escalation of interlocking chaotic nodes will depend solely upon the vibratory resonance you have attained or failed to attain. The responsibility for this passage as an individualized being embodied in time and space is solely and completely your responsibility. We wish you a good journey on the high road. Well, that was from the Hathors, and it's dated. Excuse me. It's dated October 14th, 2014. Now, along with that, Tom Kenyon has his thoughts and his observations. And once we talk about his thoughts and his observations, what I would like to share with you would be a sound meditation. And I think you will find it quite interesting. And if it resonates with you, it resonates with you. If it doesn't, it won't, and you don't worry about it. I mean, it's like we all have to find our own level of centeredness, whether we find it in one of our religious readings on a daily basis, whether we find it in wonderful positive mental affirmations on a daily basis, we meditate on a daily basis. It's up to us how we resonate and we center ourselves. Because the chaos is the chaos, and it is the madness. And so we don't get caught up in the daily drama of the news media and what's going on when we're driving to work and, you know, the road rages and watching earthquakes over here and watching towns being whisked away about volcanic lava and different things. You know, there was an instance where we had in Richmond, Virginia, a UPS driver was run off the road, and he fell over the overpass, you know, and he's in critical condition, and his truck just went over the bridge. I mean, you know, people are just doing lots of nutty things, and so for us to center ourselves, we want to center ourselves and draw our own protection around us so that we don't get caught up in the madness. So here's what Tom has to say. Tom's thoughts and observations are that this is one of the most urgent messages the Hathors have ever given him due to the nature of the changes they see in our near future. The Hathors tell us that the purpose of life, at least from their perspective, is not physical survival per se, but rather the evolution and elevation of interdimensional awareness, what some might call the soul level. While the Hathors could have gone more deeply into the details of our degrading ecosystem and the challenges around interpersonal communications, both between individuals and nations, they chose to address the challenges facing us as individuals. Their concern that the stress of living through a radical alteration of 3D reality is creating and will continue to create what they call maladaptive madness. meaning a mental emotional instability that will decrease our capacity to respond to changing realities in a resourceful manner. In its more intense forms, people will just flat out lose their minds and engage in all types of bizarre self-destructive behaviors. The Elevatron sound meditation is meant to assist us through the current passage, that is, by the Hathors' own estimation, one of the more difficult phases of planetary transformation. When they discuss the effects of this particular sound meditation, they say the cellular structure of your body will unwind and release stress and delusional states of perception. What they mean by this enigmatic statement is that the Elevatron reduces stress reactions in the body. And in their view, overly stressful reactions create delusional states of mind. In other words, when we are excessively stressed, our mental emotional perspective is twisted, and we respond to situations in our lives from a less resourceful state than when we are not unduly stressed. Tom believes the Hathor's description of how to work with this sound meditation is self-explanatory and can be found on Tom Kenyon's website. Tom recommends you listen to this sound meditation with stereo headphones or earbuds. He further states that hearing is believing, and if the meditation speaks to you, perhaps you would incorporate it into your daily stress management program. If it doesn't resonate with you, he wouldn't work with it. But whether you choose to work with this sound meditation or not, he thinks it would be prudent to use some method to recenter yourself mentally, emotionally, and spiritually on a daily basis. Finally, how you and I respond to the challenges of interlocking chaotic nodes and the radical alterations of our 3D reality is and will be solely and completely our own personal responsibility. No one is going to save us from ourselves. While the tone of this message is indeed alarming, Tom thinks we would do well to keep intact and by our side a good sense of humor. As the American writer Mark Twain once quipped, some things in life are so serious, all you can do is laugh. In Tom's experience, this type of humor arises from a realization that this world is, in many ways, illusory. And while the embodied human being aspect of us has to contend with the realities of a changing 3D reality, the transcendent or spiritual part of us is outside the fray because it is in a dimension that transcends time, space, and the gravity well of Earth. Somewhere between these two polarities, human embodiment and transcendent freedom, there is an amusing place in consciousness. Finding this amusing space is, in Tom's opinion, an indispensable ally for those of us in search of the high road. May you and your loved ones, as well as all beings in all realms of existence, find an expeditious way to the high path. Love, Tom Kenyon. Now, with that, the sound meditation, and then we'll go back and we'll talk about a little bit of manifesting magic and miracles as the dismantling of 3D reality happens, because there's magic in all things. And as I've heard my mother say often, verily in darkness there is light. So there's a lot of light to be found, and there is no need for any of us, you know, to go nutsy over this, because that's the whole point they're talking about. There are things that are going to want to drive you crazy. And so now that you know that this is a fact, now you know don't go crazy when these things start popping up. That's the whole purpose of talking about the crazies are coming, or the crazies are here. So with that, get comfortable. If you want to put on some earbuds, do so. Put on some earbuds so that you can listen to it. It's only 4 minutes long. That's a very short time for all of you who are in a hurry to not sit still. And if you want to run to the bathroom, then put it on loud and listen to it. You'll know if it resonates with you. So with that, here we go. So take some deep breaths. Close your eyes if you're going to sit and listen. This is Tom's voice, believe it or not. This is how he channels the Hathor's, the sound meditation.
Thank you.
How was that? For some of us, it was relaxing and peaceful. For some of us, we just want to read our daily affirmation. For others of us, we would like to go into a deep breathing meditation as opposed to any sounds at all. However you find your centeredness, it will be up to you because we are individuals. Let's talk about manifesting magic and miracles during this dismantling of 3D reality. We'll find that through the course of any given day, we will accumulate negative thoughts and feelings, such as, fear, guilt, shame, blame, self-criticism, anger, regret. We will do this even when we pretend that we don't. There are some of us that walk around saying, I have this positive mental attitude, oh, I'm positive. Once in a while, a little something will slip up in there. And it happens over time. And over time, this negativity builds if we do not find a constructive way to release it. In fact, we'll carry it around with us during our day, drawing in experiences that reflect the energy that is within us. I remember someone told me that if they woke up on the wrong side of the bed, their whole day was on the wrong side of their bed. So they always wanted to open their eyes with a positive mental thought for the start of their day. Some people prefer to pray first thing in the morning or fill out some words of gratitude. Gratitude for the day that they're going to have that's going to be perfect and wonderful. When we do that, we start the day off perfect and wonderful. And it is always in the best interest to release negative thoughts and feelings. Otherwise, we will just have more thoughts and feelings that are similar. We all know how we feel can change the course of our day, and cumulatively, it changes the course of our whole entire life. I mean, there are some grumpy people on the face of this earth. I mean, I see some grump, and it's like, how do they go through life just being all grumpy? They just grumpy and grouchy for no reason. You look at them, and they roll their eyes at you because you looked at them, and all you did was look at them and smile. When we let go of all of the negativity, we feel lighter and brighter, holding a new clarity, making much better choices, and drawing in more aligned experiences. Everything starts in the mind, and then the intent gives it energy. We are more powerful than we've been led to believe. Another thing, after all, you're not a finite being. You are larger than the body that contains you. In a sense, you not only have access, infinite supply of energy, but you are that energy embodies. You know, I saw a movie called, I think it was The Secret, where there was this man by the barbecue grill, and what they did was transform him into a big, huge, big old ball of energy, and that's all we are. So that which we create is what we have sent out there. So it behooves us to be careful what we think and how we think, because we can manifest all the beautiful things that we want in our reality if we just think it and intend it. And with that, I think it's time for us to do a little animal medicine card. I see the lines are all lit up. While I do some energy for an animal medicine card, if there is anyone out there that would like to say something, share something, ask something. If not, we're going to do the animal medicine card, but our line is 347-324-3030, and I'd love to hear what you think. Animal medicine card, here we come, here we come. We'll think for a minute and hold that thought for a second. And we'll see what the cards have to say to us. It's a beautiful card. We have grouse. I don't know if anyone knows what a grouse is, but a grouse is a bird. And the grouse is symbolic of the sacred spiral. Wow, what a wonderful card to draw. If you have grouse medicine in your card, undertake a meditation on the various qualities of movement within your world. Begin by visualizing the sun as one member of a huge group of stars swirling in the massive pinwheel shape of the Milky Way. Then draw yourself out of this pinwheel of light and into the spiraling of your own DNA's double helix, an arrangement similar to a rope ladder coiled like a corkscrew. Analyze the way you move through your world. How do you picture yourself in the act of locomotion? What kind of reaction do you create with the energy you send into the universe? What words would you use to describe the way you move through both the material and spiritual worlds? In the final analysis, is your movement compatible with your greatest desires and goals? Many spiritual disciplines ask that you cease all external movement in order to recognize the inner life. Grouse medicine, however, is an invitation to the dance. Grouse celebrates the divine source through its sacred spiral dance to you as a gift. You can expand a lifetime, you can spend a lifetime learning Grouse's lesson on how to harmonize your dance with Mother Earth's cycles and how to offer the dance as a creation of selfless beauty. And with that, I'm going to say good night. I enjoyed spending time with you. I hope you enjoyed listening to those thoughts that the Hathors had to present to us. I know I had a wonderful time sharing them with you. And the next time we get together, it will be November the 16th. My, the year is rapidly coming to a close. And with that, I'll say good night. You take care. Stay blessed. And until next time, this is Duchess signing out. Have a good one. Thank you. Thank you.